Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water. All with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger. Fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am the chosen one and I choose to podcast today. I am ready to go. I am tickled pink by this movie. Tickled pink. Do you want to know how many times I've seen this movie?
How many times did you watch this movie?
4 times.
Why? There's just no world where it needs to be viewed 4 times.
Because I like it.
Oh my gosh.
I like it. That is my stance for all of you haters, for your Buffy purists out there. I am sorry. I liked this movie a lot.
Yeah, Sarah really liked this movie. For those who somehow didn't read the title before clicking on it, we're covering the Buffy the Vampire Slayer film from 1992. Because we're covering Buffy the show, and we thought it made sense to also cover the movie because it was made in the 90s. Sarah really liked this movie in a way I wasn't necessarily expecting until I watched it. And also, I have to make a quick addendum, correction, I don't know. I said last podcast or some podcast where we announced we were covering this that I'd never seen this movie. And I honestly didn't think I had. But it turns out I did. And the sad fact is, not only did I see this movie once before, it wasn't even that long ago. I watched this movie in October of 2023, okay? If that is not just like a just point in the corner of I can't remember anything, I don't know what it is. Because when I watched this movie, it was like I was watching it first time. And it wasn't like I didn't pay attention the first time. I did. I paid attention and I made comments like
throughout it, because I was assuming essentially you watched it in the PSR Discord.
Right.
And because you stream the stuff, but usually when you're streaming these movies,
I'm usually working at the same time. Yeah. However, like I made comments on this movie.
Throughout it or only in the beginning?
No, throughout it. I think the thing is I just didn't stick in my brain. So I guess I've seen this movie twice now.
Half the times that I've seen it. So, yeah. Jessica, in your best guess, why do you think I like this movie so much? Because
you I know exactly why. And I got it within 5 minutes of starting the movie. I knew exactly why you fell in love with it. And it's because in this version of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Buffy is literally Cher Horowitz from what's it called? Clueless.
Yes. Yeah. That is correct. And it's funny because I remember making an offhanded comment in like the first episode of our coverage of Buffy that I was like, I really like Buffy because she's kind of like Cher if she kicks ass. And mm-hmm. I think the original version of Buffy, that's what it was supposed to be. Now, of course, I think Clueless came out in 95. This came out in 92, but it was definitely like the 80s, 90s Valley Girl.
Aesthetic. As if, yeah.
Exactly. So, and I mean, if you don't know, like Clueless is one of my favorite movies of all time. Robbie Michelle's High School Reunion is my favorite movie of all time. It's created my personality to a sense. Like, this is one of the reasons why I talk the way that I do.
I was going to say, is this why we get so many comments about our Valley Girl accents?
Probably. I think probably. But I really, really, really like this version of Buffy because, in my opinion, I think that she is hilarious. Like, she has audibly made me laugh out loud so much throughout the movie. I think her facial expressions are great. This actress, Christy Swanson, I mean, I really don't know anything about her. I feel as though, like, she was in Pretty in Pink. She was in Big Daddy. She was in Dude, Where's My Car? Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But, like, she's known for this. And as far as I know, like, she's gone into, like, a little bit of, I don't know. She's a little problematic, I think. Maybe. Yikes. I'm not quite sure. But I just really, really liked her portrayal. Not that I like it better than Sarah Michelle Gellar's. It's just, like, two different Buffys. But I just found it really, really fun and funny. And I think, like, this is the thing. It's so campy and it's 90s camp. And I think that the people that are looking for, like, a serious, dramatic vampire thing, like, I think how Buffy gets eventually, it gets, like, a little bit more serious. Gets a little less campy a la the first season. Like, I can understand why, like, the Buffy purists don't like it, but I mean, my life motto is to come into stuff with low expectations and be pleasantly surprised, and mm-hmm. that's where I'm at. Now, Jessica, what did you think of this movie?
So, I think I didn't love it as much as you did. However, I did enjoy it, and I think it's because I think the reason you and I both enjoyed it is because we don't come into it with, like, loving the original Buffy or, like, having nostalgia for the original Buffy and,
right.
and having, like, we like it. We are enjoying it. We're still on the journey. So I found it to be very additive to my like, watching of the show Buffy because this is, like, the original – this is the OG. This is, like, the original concept. And I think it makes a lot of sense that this Buffy turns into the Buffy that we know, the Sarah Michelle Gellar Buffy. Yeah, I think, like, it makes a lot of sense that it's, like, she has a transformation. And so, of course, she's not going to be the same. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is, like, the before. And it also, like, I think we got it right in our – so we assume you're listening to our Buffy coverage if you're listening to this podcast. But in the very beginning of the – I think it was even the pilot – episode, the pilot podcast, that we had said, oh, it feels like Buffy was someone who would, like, used to be really popular, and there's something there. And I like that we were correct, like, in watching this movie, that was who she was. It's very campy, like you said, like, it's a bit ridiculous at times, it's over the top, but I think if you enjoy that sort of thing, like, if you're into, like, Drag Race, you know, if you're into those sorts of campy things, especially 90s camp, I think you'll, like, enjoy this movie for what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can take it as seriously as a lot of people take Buffy the show. I think people, like, respect the lore and respect, like, the seeds that are planted. I have to assume, again, we're not that far into the show, but I think that's what people go there for. And this is just a whole different animal. So I did enjoy it. I certainly didn't love it as much as you did. And I also, like, much prefer Giles to, I think his name is Merrick.
Merrick. Right? Oh my God. People are going to burn me at the stake for my takes on Merrick, but we'll get there. I also want to, confirm that I know that Joss Whedon claims that this is not necessarily canon to the show.
Right. Because he like left the set in the middle of it, right?
He was being the drama. But he like he wrote it, and then he wrote a graphic novel, I think, at one point with his actual version. It got rewritten a bunch of times to be less serious and more campy, and I think that's why he has a problem with it. But I feel as though there's, I don't know, like it still came from his mind. So I can't help but like be like, this is a little canon. There's a couple of things, like I think like our biggest complaint was that I was fully wanting to see Buffy burn down the gym, and that bitch burned down no gym. And that makes me so mad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all I wanted, and it did not happen. There was a fire element, but it didn't happen.
Was a retcon from the movie to the show.
Upset.
I did like, and this is why I like that we're already like mid season two by the time we watched this movie. At least from my memory, I did like a lot of the homages that we get in the show. Right, like. The dress that Buffy is wearing is like, she's wearing like this like white dress with a leather jacket. And obviously we know we get the leather jacket, and you know, she also is wearing a white dress in Buffy in season one.
In Prophecy Girl, the finale. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I really like the little bits that are kind of self-referential, or at least, you know, give credit to the movie for coming first and kind of setting things up. Like whether you love this movie or hate this movie, you don't have the show without it. And so I think like there is some things to take away from this film. But where do you want to start? This is,
I just have one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a homeless?
It's just like, it's like, oh my gosh.
It's so funny.
It is ridiculous, the way that Buffy just generally acts. And I will say, I have to give her credit, Sarah. When she first meets Merrick, she's like, you're like creeping. Please leave. I love what I think she's in the locker room, like the girls' locker room. And he walks in. And he's like, people are naked here.
No, she's like, this is the naked room.
That's right. This is a naked room. I loved that.
I love that so much. And I love, oh my God, when he was like, this is your birthright, and she's like, is it a trust fund? Am I getting a trust fund? And she's like, my trust fund is in the graveyard. That's so creepy.
Yeah.
So good. But anyway, so we meet Buffy. She's a cheerleader. She's popular. She has like three popular friends. Like one of them is Hilary Swank, which is she's the meanest one.
Yes, of course she is. Yeah.
Probably her best role that she ever played. I don't know. Million Dollar Who. Don't know her. Then there's like the dumb one that like really just goes wherever she's told. The one with the curly hair. And then there's like a mid one, and she's fine, but also she's like not a good friend. But
I think that I feel like in every teen girl high school movie, there's always four of them, and you can always lump each of them into the categories, right? So like, let's take Mean Girls, right? Yes. Hilary Swank is the Regina George. And then the dumb one is the dumb one Karen. Oh, there's a 90% chance it's already raining, that one. Mm-hmm. And then Gretchen Wieners is like the mid one.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally. So yeah. So they like bop around, and we meet Merrick, who is Buffy's original watcher. And he like kind of is like creeping around, because I suppose, well, before that we see like a scene from like yesteryear, the previous, I don't know, Slayer, something like that. But
yeah, because Buffy's been having visions of like the prior Slayers, which I did like I think that would have been interesting to incorporate into the show, because we don't know a ton of Buffy lore yet. Like, we don't really understand, like, is there more than one Slayer that lives at a time? Is there only one in the entire world? Like, how does this happen? In the movie, it's very much like, no, it's passed down, and she has visions of older versions of herself, like other slayers, basically.
Yeah, and it dates back all the way from like colonial times to like kings and queens. Like, she has dreams that she's a servant girl, all this types of stuff, and she just thought they were dreams. But Merrick is creeping because he is supposed to train the new slayer, and he is trying to find her. And at first he doesn't believe it's her because she's very high, like Valley girl. She's very high school, very California. And it wasn't until he saw her do her little flippies that he's like, "You're a star. You're the chosen one." Yeah. But we meet Buffy's boyfriend. We meet like the first version of Joyce, who is like basically just does not pay attention to Buffy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a question for you, because there is a yellow leather jacket that is like the center of some controversy with the friend group. Can I ask your opinions on the yellow jacket?
For the time that it was a sleigh. Okay, I just think the whole situation is funny. I have more of a opinion. So basically, there's the yellow jacket. Buffy's like, "This is the moment. I love this yellow jacket." And one of the girls was like, I think Hillary Swank was like, "Ew, that is so yesterday. That's so nasty. I hate it." And then Buffy was like, "Oh, okay." And then that girl bought the leather jacket, the yellow leather jacket, and wore herself. And Buffy was like, "What the frick? I thought this was like outdated, you said." And she's like, "Well, now it's vintage. So now it's cool again." But then she's like, "Buffy, you can borrow it." But so then Buffy borrowed the yellow jacket, but then she lent it to some girl that got killed. It's like, Buffy, you can't be lending the jacket. You can't double borrow a jacket. You know what I mean? That was a bad move. She borrowed the jacket and then gave the jacket away. Terrible. I have more of a problem with that.
Yeah, you can't do that. My opinion was just that I really like it. And I don't wear leather, right? Like I don't do the real leather thing, but like in the hypothetical world where this is a pleather yellow jacket, like I like the style of it. I think it's bold. I think it's fun. I'm really into, I don't know that I wear a ton of bright colors myself, but I can appreciate when someone like wears a pop of color like that, because this jacket is very much like, look at me, you know, and I appreciate that about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is a good jacket, and I feel like Buffy really got fucked because she wanted that jacket, but then she lent it to Cassandra, and then Cassandra had to go get abducted by Lothos, who is like the big bad in this series.
Yeah.
Lothos is a guy that I think just wants to marry Buffy. I'm thinking. And then the worst guy in the entire movie, if you want to talk about something that's bad, it's his underling, who I think's name is Amelin.
Amelin, yes.
He is stupid as fuck. So dumb.
Yeah. Did you recognize him?
No.
So he's played by Paul Rubens, also known as Pee-wee Herman.
Oh.
Yeah. I feel like it's like not easy to necessarily recognize him because of like everything that's happening. Like he's very done up in like makeup, and that wig, honestly, Sarah, is so atrocious. Like, he has like three hairs.
Yeah, it's really, it's really so thin.
Thin.
And he goes around, he's like, bleh, bleh.
Yeah, he really is like the king of onomatopoeia. Like, he just makes noises, he barely talks.
He dies at the end, he's like, bleh, bleh, bleh.
Oh, can we talk about the different ways that so the vampires in the movie versus the vampires in the show? Like, in the show, we love it. They get dusty. It's like dust, poof, gone. Particles. And like, you're like, no body cleanup. Like, awesome. In the movie, there's just bodies everywhere with stakes all in them. I like the show version better, where they just poof.
It's definitely easier cleanup. That's what I'm saying. Sure.
Like, who's logging around these bodies? Where are they going to put all the dead vampires?
I don't know, but I feel like you do have to burn them after you kill them. That's probably the only way. So apparently Lothos, who is the vampire king, and his accolade, Amelin, they are about to terrorize the town. Now, I don't know why they chose like today and LA to do this, but that they're here to cause some ruckus. And we also meet this Oliver Pike, who we call him Pike, even though that's the name of a fish and not a real name. And Benny, played by David Arquette. And they're kind of like annoying high school boys.
Yeah, I would say, like, to put it in like Freaks and Geeks terms, they would be the freaks.
Yeah. We don't like them at first because they make some crude motions with hot dogs that I do not appreciate.
It's nasty. It's really nasty.
Thankfully, David Arquette got punished for that because he gets turned into a vampire.
The scene where he is just hovering outside of Pike's room, I don't know why it cracked me up so much. I think it was because David Arquette's character is just laughing maniacally the entire time.
He's like, oh, I'm hungry. I'm hungry.
Yeah. Like, and okay. Pike is like, bro, you're hovering outside my window. I'm not letting you in. Get out of here.
Bro, you're looking really bad.
He's like, you're so casual about it.
Yeah. He's like, you're looking so bad.
Like, your best friend is a vampire. I think you should be a little bit more concerned.
Oh, what do you think about the vampire face in this movie? Because it's very different, and it's honestly only squiggly ears. All the ears and sharp teeth.
Weird elfish sort of ears, but they're a little bit more like if you crossed Mike Tyson with like an elf, like they're a little bit like cauliflower / elf ears. And then of course they have the teeth. They don't have the vampire face, they just have like nasty teeth and elf ears. It was fine. Who was it? Someone had a real bad case of fruit punch mouth, and I can't remember who it was, and it cracked me up. I think it might have been Amelin. At one point, he just has like a very red mouth, and all I could think of was fruit punch mouth from the first season. Amelin who had
the fruit punch. I was going to say, like, I'm not really sure, but I think it was Amelin, because if anybody is, I don't know. I'm just going to blame Amelin for everything.
Yeah, he's a sloppy consumer, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Also, the thing that I will say that the show has, like, in terms of the way the vampires look, I felt like on the movie it looked more like they just took some like flour and patted the vampires on the face with it. Like, it was like too much, you know. They didn't they looked like fake pasty, you know.
Fake pasty. Okay, so once Buffy meets Merrick for the first time, he is like, he doesn't believe that Buffy's really the one. Like, he's not quite sure, but she doesn't believe it either. So they go to the graveyard and they fight vampires, and she's a natural, of course.
This is ridiculous. Like, I could appreciate that at the very least, Buffy was like, why am I with an old man at a graveyard at night? Yeah. Like, this is dangerous. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, Buffy, sounds like a terrible idea. It's like Merrick. This is why I'm very pro Giles and anti Merrick, because Merrick does almost nothing to convince Buffy that she's the Slayer. I feel like he is like, you should just know that I'm right. Like, I feel like that's the attitude he comes at it with. And it also feels very dangerous to be like, I don't even know if you're the Slayer, but let's go to a graveyard. And when one guy, like, he doesn't even prepare her. Like, when a guy comes out of the ground and starts attacking them, he's like, give me a steak. And it's like, maybe you should have had this chat on the walk over, Merrick.
Maybe.
About the tips and tricks on how to kill vampires.
Maybe. But once again, I think, like, the point is the Slayer is just supposed to know. They're supposed to have, like, a level of natural talent. What I think worked between Merrick and Buffy is an earned father-daughter type relationship that I'm not convinced of between Giles and...
At this point, you're still not convinced? I feel like
father-daughter? I don't know.
I'm thinking, you know, the reptile boy, like, when he saves her then, like, I felt there. And, like, the finale of season one, I felt like, was another good example.
So, like, I think the difference is that, like, I saw more, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like I saw more, like, one-on-one conversations between Merrick and Buffy than I have Buffy and Giles. Like, I
feel because Willow and Xander are always around.
Always there. And I feel like Giles is like more business, even though Merrick is very business, but like Merrick opened up to Buffy about like his life. He was like, you know what? Like, I like have been doing this for centuries. Every single time I die, I just come back as the Watcher again. Like, I kind of wish that I had like a real job. And she was like, what would you have wanted to be? And he's like, oh, I would have been like a great bootmaker. And then I love how like Buffy's like, I want to be a buyer when I grow up. And she's like, and he's like, what's that? And he's like, it's a buyer. It's you buy things, you know, to buy. And he makes a joke, and I kind of forget what the joke was. And I love a moment where she's just like, wow, Merrick, like you made a joke. Did it hurt? It was your first one. And I don't know. Like, I just really liked that moment. And I think that especially because Buffy's parents in the movie are so out to lunch in a different way than Joyce is or her father is in the show, yeah. Because the Buffy's parents are like partiers and like literally, I know that Joyce cares about Buffy. Buffy's parents in the movie don't give a shit about her. Her parents remind me of, remember in Now and Then, Samantha's parents,
yeah,
were like raging all the time and like having parties. Like, that's what Buffy's parents remind me of. They're because like, remember the part where she was like, she came home and her mom was like, what time is it? And like, Buffy was like, it's just like after 10 o'clock. She's like, oh God, we're late. And she's like, whatever, we gotta go. It's like, her mom doesn't even care that she's out until 10 o'clock doing shit, you know? So like, I kind of feel like Buffy is like, has too many parental figures in her life in this show. While like this Buffy is a latchkey kid to the 10th degree. Like, she's dying for a parent figure.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Nonetheless, Merrick kind of sucks because he dies at the end. He wasn't there. He was there for a good time, not a long time.
Well, this is why I think, so because this is a movie, not a show, they had to like expedite the bonding process, where in the show they can kind of take their time. And to your point, it's not just Buffy and Merrick. It's the whole crew. It's the Scoobies or whatever. Like, it's all of them together. And I think while, you know, like you said, if Buffy is his sole focus, it's just them one-on-one all the time. But you have Giles bonding with Willow a lot because they're the research buddies,
I kind of feel like Willow and Giles has more one-on-one time.
They're usually on the same squad in terms of dispatching different kind of operations. You know, they're in the hacking and research department. Yeah.
I also kind of feel like Giles is sometimes a little dismissive of Buffy's like plight.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, so was Merrick, but also like at least Merrick like sat down and like listened to Buffy complain.
Yeah. I think Merrick is much more open than Giles is in general in terms of like offering up information about their own backstory to connect with Buffy. Yeah. Giles is a little bit more cards close to the vest. And I think that's just a product of it being a show where they want to keep his backstory a little bit more hidden and like let it come out over time versus they're like, we have one movie, this is it. And like you said, like then Merrick dies. And I think in order for us, the viewer, to feel sad and all these other emotions about Merrick's death, they have to really build him up as a character first. So I think that's why we get a lot more bonding between Buffy and Merrick, because we also don't have other characters around. It's just the two of them. So we're solely focused on them. Because I didn't mind Merrick most of the time. It was not really, for me, it wasn't more that I disliked Merrick. It's more that I really like Giles and I'm very intrigued by him. And I really, especially because the timing of this podcast, Sarah, we've just watched season 2's Halloween, which is like, gives you a little glimpse into what Giles could have been up to in his past. And to me, that's like much more intriguing than really much that happens with Merrick in the movie.
Yeah, I know. We're just at the tip of the iceberg with Giles. And if you're listening to our Buffy content, you know that I find him kind of a bore. But I know that there's something a brewing. We have a stew cooking. And there's the Ripper means something. I don't know what that means yet, but it means something. So I'm sure in time I will like Giles, but I don't know. Like if I had to choose a dad, I want Merrick.
Well, Merrick dies and like, I don't
know. It was my dad. Yeah. I understand. Yes.
I just was a little surprised that I felt like there was a lot of movie left at the point that he died, you know, because they're like, they're there with the Vampire King and Amalyn and all of that. And Merrick tries to help. And this is when he dies. And I'm like, well, this is why the Watcher doesn't help. Because Giles is smart. This is why he's not why on he the front away. Lines.
Yeah. But as Merrick dies, I like that he's like, be you, Buffy. You can do everything if you're just yourself.
Yeah,
like do things your own way. I kind of like that as well because, you know, at first he was like annoyed with her snarky remarks and like, and you know, commentary. But then he's like, you know what? This makes you you, and you're special.
Especially because I mean, when we're talking about Buffy being like the first coming of Cher Horowitz. It does feel very similar where Cher and also to a certain extent, Elle Woods from Legally Blonde, they're very intelligent women that aren't really taken seriously because of the way they look. They're all blonde. They're all beautiful. They're these bombshells. No one takes them seriously, but they can kick ass. And I like that because obviously in the show it's, you know, after the movie and everything. So Buffy isn't really a cheerleader anymore. Was she for a hot second?
Yeah.
When did the lady's hands catch on fire? That was like season one.
That was
right?
pretty early. That was cheerleading tryouts.
Yeah. And so I like that. It makes a lot of sense to me, Sarah, that Buffy would be a cheerleader and a former gymnast because if we want to, you know, giving her powers, obviously she has the like super strength and all those other things, but the flexibility to be able to do the kicky punchy stuff it works very well with it like a gymnast background.
Yeah, it definitely tracks and it makes sense. It makes it make more sense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What else did I want to say? Oh, I wanted to tell you that they announced the other day that there's going to be a show called Elle, and it's going to be like Elle in her high school years.
Oh, so it's a prequel to Legally Blonde.
Yeah, kind of like the Carrie Diaries.
Yeah, I did not watch that.
Oh, didn't? No, it was really good, actually. It was very good.
No, I'm not into prequels all the time because I'm like, just let things lie. You know, we don't need to like redo everything.
Well, I'm going to watch it. Okay. I wanted to next ask you about so like there's some things that Buffy experiences that the Buffy in the show doesn't. For example, as a way to detect that vampires are getting close, she gets like menstrual like cramps. How do you feel about this?
That's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And also, if this happened on the show, poor Buffy would have cramps every single day. And no person should ever have to put up with that.
Yeah. I mean, she was like in pain for half the movie. She's like, oh no, I have cramps.
Well, it's that's the thing. So again, she's not menstruating though. It's just.
No, that's what she said. She's like, my period is not for a few weeks. She was like.
Yeah,
because like, if she had this like is a sign,
there's like the I don't does it have to do with the blood? It just doesn't. It's just like so stupid.
It's just a thing.
It feels like it's been written by a man. That's all I'll say. It feels very like a man to be like, oh, blood has to do with menstruation. Let's do something with cramps in there just to make her suffer.
Yeah, that's a very good call because
a man wrote this.
He's like, yes, let's include the period talk. That's great. I'm trying to remember if there is anything else that like was weird lore. I mean, like the invitation to come in was still a thing.
Yeah.
We saw David Arquette take a picture, or maybe it was, yeah, David Arquette took a picture and it didn't show up. I also love the line where like Buffy was like, well, they can't come into the school gym because they weren't invited. And then Hillary Swank was like, I did invite them because they're seniors and it was the senior dance. That was very funny to me. I thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. So Buffy starts training more and then she becomes less and less popular because she's not showing up for cheerleading practice. She's not helping out with the school dance. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, punching people that sneak up behind her.
Because this jerk grabs her butt in the hallway, and of course she's, first of all, don't be doing that at all, but she's like taken aback because she's like on guard now constantly for vampires, and so she punches him and her stupid boyfriend doesn't even like defend her. And I was like, you know what, good freaking riddance, Jeffrey, get out of here.
Jeffrey pretty much sucked. And she starts developing a friendship and then like more like a relationship with Pike. And I think it developed because Pike ran into the vampire thing. So he was one of the only teenagers that she could talk to about all of this. And he was like very like up on helping. And he was also there when I think Merrick died. And
he was.
And then because of all these things that are happening, like she becomes less popular. She's getting like ostracized by her friends. She's getting frustrated. She gets like ditched by her boyfriend.
Doesn't he like date one of her friends?
Well, yeah, because like basically he broke up with Buffy on the phone, left a voicemail, and then she didn't listen to the voicemail, but then she's waiting for the dude for the dance and he doesn't show up. And then she goes and she's like, what the heck, Jeffrey? Like, where were you? And he's like, I broke up with you. I brought the curly haired girl, the stupid one, instead. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. Terrible.
He sucks.
He does suck. So the vampires show up at the school dance, kicky punchy. Mm-hmm. The PB Herman one gets stabbed pretty quickly and then has like a 5-minute scene of him like making death sounds like blah, blah, blah.
It's so campy.
And then the vampire king Lothos is like, you're going to marry me, you are mine. And she's like, fuck no, I will not. And then they kicky punchy. And she like does, there is a fire element. Like she's like, I'm going to try to burn you with hairspray and a torch.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah. Because of her quote unquote keen fashion sense. It doesn't work because they still have to do more kicky punchy. Eventually she stabs him. Hurrah, hurrah. We end the movie with Buffy and Pike dancing and then they get on a motorcycle and drive away.
Yay. Yeah. And the thing is there are certain elements where I understand them using this as like a building block for the show, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that Buffy was popular and kind of falls out of favor when she becomes a Slayer, I feel like you can feel that in the show. You can feel the sense of like, you're like, but wait a minute. You're trying to tell me Sarah Michelle Gellar is not a popular girl in school? Get out of here. Like you can sense that she probably was popular at one point. And I think you can especially feel that with the relationship with Cordelia. And I know you, Sarah, have said too, like this Buffy feels much more like Cordelia. And so it makes a lot of sense that they would incorporate that kind of character into the show.
I think Tom might have said, somebody might have said it.
Sorry.
Yeah, Tom. Yeah. Great. She Tom is like Cordelia-esque in the fact that it's like snarky comments, but
a little bit of like ditzy at times.
Ditzy. Because I think there's elements, especially in the first season, where like Buffy is like says something, and it's like this, but not to the extent of like Ditzy Blonde, quote unquote.
Yeah. Like very much focused on, I want to be social. I want to have a life. I don't necessarily want to be a Slayer.
Those
I didn't sign
themes
up for this.
Definitely continue, which I, you know, this is like an ongoing problem for Buffy, and it makes sense that it originated here, especially because she has the lived in experience of, I lost all of my friends because of my responsibilities, and I like lost, like I wasn't able to be a cheerleader anymore, I wasn't able to keep up with my schoolwork, I got suspended from this, like there's like real life like repercussions that she was facing from being a Slayer, and she does just want to go to the dance with her boyfriend, and now her boyfriend's a fucking vampire, and how is she supposed to bring him to a daytime function? It's impossible.
Yeah. And the so my question is, Pike, is he supposed to be like a Xander type? Like Xander's much dorkier than Pike is.
I mean, like, he's not a geek. Like, I think that Xander's supposed to be, like, more geeky and, once again, like, a la Freaks and Geeks. And Pike is more freaky. But he is supposed to be, like, on a different social platform than Buffy is. Like, these are both men that are not in the same social circle as she is used to. And therefore, like, I guess like the quote is losers, right? Like that's what I was saying the other day. They're
right,
losers.
Like, yeah.
And I'm doing air quotes for people because this is an audio medium. You can't see me. I don't really think they're losers. I mean, yes, I do. But I mean, did you like Pike? Because I couldn't care less about this man.
He didn't really feel like he had a full personality to me. Like he felt like you could have put any random high school boy in a leather jacket there and it would have been fine. Like it didn't matter a ton. So I don't know. I didn't really care that much about Pike, but I guess that's kind of the thing though, is a lot of times we're focused on Buffy. So we don't really care about the men that are kind of around her. At the very least though, I think what attracted her to him is the fact that he was intrigued by all of this going on and willing to help her fight, despite the fact that obviously he has no powers, right? He's not a watcher. He's not a slayer. He's just a civilian.
It is like Xander. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only, I think those are the ways that you can connect the dots in terms of how you get from Pike to Xander. Because I think on the show long-term, a Pike-like character doesn't really work. And in fact, I think you can get more of a through line from Pike to Angel than you can Pike to Xander. Like Pike is a little bit more of an outcast and like, obviously for very different reasons, Angel is as well. I think a little bit more brooding, a little bit like more quiet and a little bit like, and willing to like jump into danger. I think there's a little bit more in common between Pike and Angel than Pike and Xander. But I think no matter what, right, when you're writing a teen drama, you're gonna have like a teen boy that's interested in the teen girl, you know, so it was gonna happen no matter what. But it was just interesting to me to think like the Buffy, Sarah Michelle Gellar's Buffy has a past with this Pike character, if it's canon, has a past with this Pike character. And so like my question to you, Sarah, is if we think it's canon, what happened between Buffy and Pike where we don't hear about Pike in the show?
I think it's just the case of like Buffy moved away, and in a little high school brain, like it's just so far away. It became like a Grease like summer loving thing, you know?
Yeah.
They had their fling over the summer, and then she had to move away, and then it just ended. And by the way, of course, Pike is played by the great Luke Perry, who is of Beverly Hills 90210 fame. More recently, before he passed, he played, I think, Archie's dad in Riverdale.
Oh, he did. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So he's pretty famous. And this was one of his earlier parts. So, I mean, how exciting is that? Do you think that we should get into Beverly Hills 90210?
I think it has so many episodes. Hold on a second.
Is Beverly it like Hills. 1,000 episodes?
There are 10 seasons. And this was in the 90s, which means they're all like 20-something episodes.
But it's a Darren Star show. And Darren Star, of course. What?
There are 32 episodes in a lot of these seasons.
Shit. Wow. Darren Star is obviously the producer, the show creator of Sex and the City. So I'm definitely interested.
There are 293 episodes of Beverly Hills. Absolutely not. I will not be watching the show.
It's not happening. That's fine.
It's too much. It's way too much.
But is there like a world where we can watch like one episode of Beverly Hills 90210?
Certainly, right? Like we could do that as like a bonus podcast. People let us know if you're interested in hearing us cover the pilot.
Hillary Swank's in that too. She made an appearance. Yeah.
Oh, Shannon also, Doherty. Can I ask you, in your high school, did they do this specific cheerleader? I don't know if it's a routine or a chant or what it's called, because this is the same one we heard on Freaks and Geeks. Yeah, like how funky is your chicken, how loose is your goose.
I think that this is just something that's in cheerleading lore. Like I don't think that this cheer actually exists, but it's famous amongst the masses for being just the Hollywood's cheer. I don't know, are you familiar with this cheer?
I only from Freaks and Geeks. Like, yeah. I've
heard it before, but like, I don't know if I've heard it in person.
I'm just curious if like, so this movie was what, 92? When did Freaks and Geeks was later? Freaks and Geeks was late 90s, right? 99. So it was on this first. I don't know if this is their, like where it originated, but this
it's first. Not originating here. Some other notable names. So Merrick was played by Donald Sutherland, who it has a famous name. Oh, he was like the
he has a famous name. He does have a famous name because he's famous.
Yeah, I think he was in MASH, right? He was in The Hunger Games.
More recently, he was in Lawman Bass Reeves.
I have no
idea. I didn't watch it, but I know it exists.
Lawman.
He's been a working actor for a long time. Oh, you know who else he was in? Wasn't he the President Snow in Hunger Games?
Yeah. I said that like 2 minutes ago and you ignored me. So. Oh,
well, again, my brain.
So, yeah. So him, he's in it. And then some like uncredited actors that are actually famous. Ben Affleck.
He's the vampire basketball player.
No, he wasn't a vampire. No, he was the basketball player that yelled at the vampire basketball player.
Oh, I thought he just had like a lot of makeup on.
No. He was like, hey, like foul ball guy. Apparently,
he yelled foul ball in basketball?
I don't know. Oh. I just yelled at a sports term. Oh, Ricky Lake was apparently in this at some point in time. Wow. Seth Green was in here as a vampire, uncredited.
No kidding.
Yeah, and Alexis Arquette. And we saw Alexis Arquette in Wedding Singer, and Alexis Arquette played a vampire DJ.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Stephen Root is also in this movie.
Who's Stephen Root?
He's like the stapler guy in Office Space. He's in the show Barry. He's in a lot of stuff.
Oh, he's a famous actor.
He was in an episode of Succession, a couple episodes of Succession.
Oh, okay. All right. What else? What else about this movie?
My ultimate opinion is I don't think it's as bad as people say it is, but I also don't watch it with like extreme nostalgia and love in my heart for the show. So maybe that's why people are just like so offended by this movie. But like, I think Joss Whedon had his panties in a bit of a twist about it. Like, I don't think it's that bad. And maybe it wasn't what he imagined it to be, which is why the show even happened in the first place. So like, I guess it's a good thing he didn't like the movie. But I thought it was a fun, campy 90s film. You know, it's not winning awards, but it's cute. It's fun.
I agree with you. Is there a world where you and I should read The Origin, which is Joss Whedon's book that he...
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Why would we read that? Just to actually have the whole picture?
To actually know what Buffy's origin is.
But yeah, but I want to maybe after we finish the show, maybe that would be a thing to do after. Because I feel like I want to leave it, let the mystery be for now. I want the show to tell us.
Okay. I mean, that's very fair. I guess that's a great point. Like, I'm kind of under the assumption that we're never going to know anything ever. But also, we're on season 2, episode 5 out of like 8 seasons. So maybe I need to cool my jets.
I was going to say, we're on season 2 of 2 different shows that both have many more seasons to go. People already want us to cover Angel. And we're not even there yet. We don't even know when Angel starts in terms of the show's runtime. So, yeah, that's where we are in. But yeah, if you haven't, if you're listening to this for maybe just like the bonus podcast, listen to the Buffy podcast. It's a ton of fun. We're like speculating up the wazoo because we really have no idea what happens.
We do not. I really like this. Like, I thought it was funny. I really love to not take things that I watch that seriously. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was great. I thought that Christy Swanson's portrayal as Buffy was a lot of fun, a different type of fun than Sarah Michelle Gellar's. And I thought that I thought this movie was very funny in a way that like 90s camp movies are funny.
Yeah. It gave a little bit, what is it? But I'm a Cheerleader. We covered that. Like, it's like, it can't be like that in a really fun way that like, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I appreciate that. And I really, really enjoyed it. It's also like relatively short, which probably aided to the amount of times I've watched this movie, which is 4 times. And I'm excited to, I guess, continue the series, seeing if we get a prequel to the TV series, type of episode, like a before it all started episode. Mm-hmm. I would love that. I don't know if we get that, but, I appreciate that type of stuff. So I wouldn't mind it. I know you said before you don't like prequels, but.
Well, I don't mind. Let me fix that statement. I don't mind when shows like do a flashback.
And, yeah, like, I like flashback episodes. Thank
but
you.
I don't like when people take existing content like Sex and the City, like other things like, you know, Legally Blonde. And they're like, you know what would be great? Let's just reuse this property and go back before the property and say what happened.
I have a question. What if, would it change your opinion if Reese Witherspoon's daughter, Ava, who looks exactly like Reese Witherspoon, played Elle, would that change your opinion?
It wouldn't bother me as much, but I still don't know that I would be like, yay, let's do this thing, you know?
Because that's the rumor, but I don't think it's happening.
Well, how I feel is I always get nervous about like whatever is new coming out, ruining my already formed like thoughts and opinions on an existing thing. So I'm just like, I don't want it to ruin the love that I have for something already. I've gotten a little bit better about that as I've gotten older. I've tried to just be able to separate it in my mind, but it also just feels very cheap to be like, we know people love Legally Blonde and we know we can make money this way. So why not? Instead of just making new original content, they always go back to the same well. So it's more of a general philosophical thing that I have a problem with it, more so than it's like the actors or whatever. But she does look like Reese Witherspoon's daughter looks exactly like her. It's very creepy, actually, very eerie.
It is. Also, I just think it's so dramatic that Joss Whedon literally walked off set. What a pussy bitch.
Honestly, though, we hate him. Like, we can love Buffy and hate him. He sounds like a pretentious a-hole.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if people are going to be upset with us for saying this movie wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. Like, I think you just have to separate the two in your mind, and maybe people can't do that. Like, they just don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I just think if you look at it as like this is like a sillier, campier version of Buffy. And like, let's be real, Sarah, season 1 of Buffy was very campy. Very campy.
Yeah, so, exactly. That's why people don't like it. So I just think that, I think that people are very precious about their favorite show and they have high nostalgia for it. And they like the later seasons that are probably more serious and gritty and dark. And you and me are just two stupid hoes that like something a little light and funny.
Indeed, I am a stupid hoe. Exactly.
There we go. And that's how we'll end the podcast. You can catch us on Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We cover Felicity and, of course, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Earlier this month, we watched an Allison Hannigan movie in American Pie with Chappelle. Very unhinged, very fun podcast. Mm-hmm. Next month, we have something cooking in terms of bonus content. So come back. Check out our social media for what that will be. You can find me on Whirlwind Pods doing a whole bunch of stuff. You and me, Jess, are covering Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin.
Yeah.
And you are talking shit, aren't you?
I am talking all sorts of shit over on Talking Shit, where we talk about Schitt's Creek. It's been a ton of fun. So join us over there. We're almost done with season one. We're flying through these seasons.
Hurrah. So fun. So fun. Mm-hmm. Okay. I loved this movie. It was a lot of fun. It was so much fun talking to you about it, Jess, but we gotta go, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is the end of the podcast. So as I end our normal Buffy podcast, I'm just gonna say, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.